together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Everybody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Can't have my family. You can't have my increase. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my family. You can't have my increase. You can't have my breakthrough. This means war. Welcome, family, this morning to Real Talk with Pastor E here live at the Now Network Studios and our co-hostess, Minister Carolyn, live here continuing our series, continuing our assignment on violence next door. And for 3 weeks straight, we have been directed by the Holy Spirit to really deep dig on the subject and the topic of human trafficking. We've went deep. We found it. About in the home, in the neighborhood, in the streets. And now we're going to be talking about something very devastating today. But join us weekly for a variety of Real Talk discussions, dynamic principles based on the word and worship to God. That everything we do is to expose, but to now find solutions, godly solutions, how to fix our problems and to grow. And family, here's our side note and our disclaimer that, family, we are fully devoted to Jesus here on the Now Network, P2P Ministries, and anything connected. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for all fellow men at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will, that's a promise, we will reach the lost and unsaved. Welcome again to Real Talk with Pastor E. This has been pretty informative for myself because we've known about, and each of us could probably attest that we've had some interaction with the now named human and sex trafficking. But a lot of us growing up in urban areas have noticed it. And it was sometimes looked at that that was an occupation for some people, and that was a way of life for some people. But now we're seeing that through, with truth. And that's what one thing we do here is want to magnify the truth. The truth will hurt, but it can change you, and it can make you more aware on what we can do. We're here to, first of all, just acknowledge and to be in agreement with other covenant partners that are in the same mold of prevention and for now the after. But I believe we're going to even touch on this today, that last week we even talked about what was the root source of some of these things. We cannot stop an epidemic if we don't know the root and the source of it, that we could really work harder on changing ourselves, that then we could change some younger generations, and then they could change another younger generation. And before you know it, we can see the proof of it in the growth of young people. And as we're fading off into the sunset, we can see that there are results in the things that we've done. So we want to encourage you out there, if you're listening, to get involved. This is just not for you to listen. This is just not for you to call in or to listen online. Here's another disclaimer. If you're online listening right now, we thank you for your support. But if you want to be interactive with this broadcast, we need you to call in. That number is 319-527-6173. Again, call in 319-527-6173. If you're a guest, dial 1. That'll bring you in the queue. And then once we open the lines, if you're just a listener, and you want to share dial one at that time, and we'll bring you in. Amen. But without any further ado, we're going to bring in our co-hostess, Minister Carolyn Hamilton, with Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, and now Sisters Working Against Sex Trafficking, Sisters Working Against Violence Altogether, Sisters Working Against //. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you?
Praise God. And you got that right. It's Sisters Working. We just working.
That's right.
//. That's good, Pastor E. Yeah, so blessings this morning. It's an honor to be back on the radio doing the work of the Lord. And I'm excited about the new subject. I don't know. The Holy Spirit just keeps throwing these ideas in my head. And so this week we're going inside the prison system. And I spoke to a gentleman prayerfully by the grace of God. He's going to be on the line. We're just going to call him J.B. He's an inmate that has just done 30 years incarcerated, and he's seen it going down inside of the prison systems. I've done a little bit of studying on it, and I'm at awe. This is something that has been going on, but people think that, you know, they would call it prostitution, but actually it's not prostitution when you're being forced to do it. So I'm looking forward to
that's right.
today.
That's right.
And Enoko's coming back. She's a expert advocate. She's going to be on the line giving us the info that she has on that, and then we're going to still toss around a couple of ideas, you know, these couple of weeks, and then I think we need to hit hard about the help, what we can do, and start trying to make a difference, trying to make a change.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing, we're doing that right now. This broadcast is definitely being heard and recognized by a lot of, we've gotten a lot of mail and a lot of responses from a lot of entities. We're trying to plan and get them involved. I invite them every weekend, but you know, everybody has schedules and things like that, but we are being effective. So I do want to congratulate all of our covenant partners here that this is just not a time for us to talk with one another. We're really getting to the root of some things, and God is moving because we're praying and believing. So be encouraged in that matter. This is working. Now, I tell you, this is, you know, something like even you said that, you know, it's now sex trafficking being forced. But just say, for instance, you know, we were talking to some young ladies and that had to use their cells to provide for their kids, and then got in trouble and went to jail, and then got brought in because, when you know, just because how can I say this without being crazy, but just because you went to jail for it don't mean that's who you are. Some people do things because there's a need and there's a void in their lives, and then they use that, and then it becomes easy money. A lot of women who are in strip clubs, it became easy money. It's not like that's who they are. It just became easy money. And then it becomes an epidemic in that area, too. And then even in the strip club, you brought that up. I start searching Minister Carolyn. And then there's sex trafficking from the pole. Guys are in there dropping dollars and making it rain just to get their attention, to get them into into these sex trafficking realms. So we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of other subjects that we can go, but without going any further into the things I learned this morning, because you get me the day before. Y'all, I'm gonna tell you now, Minister Carolyn drops the bomb on me every Friday night. Pastor, this is what we got. I got a word from God. I'll be like, okay, how about next week? No, we gotta do it this week. And here we are. So thanks everybody for being supportive, and we're going to do a great job because I do my due diligence and have a lot of information to share on the back end of this broadcast. But we're going to release and let our co-hostess run this section. We're going to bring in the mighty woman of God, Enoko, back in. Did I get that right, Enoko? I tell you, it takes me a little while, but did I get that right? Good morning, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning, and I give honor to God who, oh my God, he's just been so amazing, and Pastor Eric and Carolyn for the work that you guys are doing. So I am here on fire.
Amen. Well, you got me back. My legal name is Edward, but everybody just calls me the E, Pastor E. So you got me back for 2 weeks of not being able to pronounce Enoko.
Oh, but you did it today. So.
Oh, no, I've been practicing. I've been practicing all night, all morning. I even asked Minister Carolyn this morning, how did I sound? She said, you got it. So Amen. Yeah, amen. Well, I want to let you guys chat. And I'm going to back out for a moment. And I'm still here. I'll be taking some notes. And I'm praying some of the things that God has shown us that we'll be able to fill in those gaps. But I want you guys to kind of tell the story and sex trafficking behind prison walls. My God, we knew it, but it's now being exposed here on the Now Network.
Okay, Pastor E, before you leave, we do need to make sure that JB is on the phone. He's one of our guests today.
Do you have his last? Do you have his last four? Okay, hold on. Someone dialed one. They're in the queue. Let me just do an introduction first. Good morning, okay. Area code 323, last four, 0532. You're live on Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Curlin. How are you?
I'm great. I'm JB.
Okay, we
God
got JB on the line. Amen. Well, good morning, my brother. We're gonna cue you in. Now, you need him now, Minister Curlin, or you want to bring him back in a minute?
We can bring him back.
All right, JB, hold on. Don't hang up. We're going to mute you, but we'll bring you back in a minute.
Okay,
go ahead, Mr. Kelly.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you again, Enoko, for coming back. You're the expert in all of this. So I was searching, and I was thinking, now I have my go-to woman. Like, I was searching, and something told me, to look up prison systems. Something told me to look up sex trafficking within the prison system. And so I Googled it, and then I went in depth, and I started studying it. And so what I seen was for the women. Some of these women are sold inside a prison, like by other inmates. But there are other inmates that have been, there are other inmates that have been involved in the sex trafficking out on the street. And so then I went a little deeper, and I found out that there are men that write these women. They go in and they write men, write men, because there's still homosexuality going on. So They seek out and they search for people, as what Pastor E just said, that have priors of prostitution, or either they look for people with low self-esteem, people with no families, and they go after them. So I watched a video where this guy was arrested for sex trafficking, and they asked him, the newscaster asked him, well, how many women were you writing in prison? And I believe he said three. So, and he said, well, what were you writing these women for? And he goes, to benefit himself. So it showed how in the letter where he called them sexy, he told them good things, you know, things that a woman would like to hear. So this made the women think that this was somebody that they wanted to be in their lives. So when they got home, when they got released from prison, he was there to pick them up. But what they didn't know that it was that he had already used their pictures. He had already sold them. And once they got home, whoever he had sold them to were waiting in the house for them. And so that, like, blew me totally off. And it's like they're sold out before they even get out. And to me, that was like, no. So how can you reach out? In certain states, the COs go inside and I guess they have like kiosk machines or however they get the email. And so the COs, the guards are teaching them what to look for and what not to do. But if you could expound on that a little bit, and then we could bring JB in. JB just happens to be an inmate in the CDCR system, and he had watched it go down inside behind the walls in the California state prison. And so we're going to have him speak on it too a little bit.
Okay, Carolyn. One of the things that I noticed and clients that I have worked with that were incarcerated. And as you were talking about the inmates, it is the sexual abuse and crimes in the male and female prisons have gotten so rampant that there is new laws that have been placed, and a lot, and over the last 5 years, people have been working with it because it's no longer can be swept under the carpet about the things that is going on in the prisons and when it comes to being sexually exploited. And like you said, these people come into prison, whether they're female or male, and what these people who are perpetrating them look for is that they're not getting mail, they're not getting visits, they're not getting money. And I've never been to prison, but I have worked closely with the prison system and with parents, with children with parents who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And that is the most, it's just like in the outside, that perpetrator is looking for the weakest link. Is he's going to study you regardless. He's going to study your every move, whether that's through mail, like you were saying, that they're still operating while women are incarcerated, sending them those letters, sending them money, and then they're making them feel indebted. And as women, sometimes we, as just human beings, we don't want to feel like we owe someone something. And so it's the same grooming. It's the same manipulation. And one of the things I think is critically missing, and as you were saying about they go after low self-esteem, but we need programs that are developed that really teaches us about our self-worth as women, as men of God, not only our self-worth, but critical thinking. How many people just bypass that about thinking? We think because you know right from wrong, you know, that's okay. But no, we have to begin to think critically and read between the lines and know that if something sounds too good to be true, then it's not true. So the and so the abuse that these women are in, and men are enduring, and the guards are letting it happen. There, some of them are letting it happen. I've even seen where the guards are involved in the sexual exploitation of women, and they will set it up to people will know on which ones to target. And so, as you were saying about these people not having self-esteem, and when you're behind bars, like I said, I can't speak from being there. It is, you're treated, you're not even a human being. You're given a number. You're identified as a number. So everything in you, every fabric is torn down in you. And so think about those things emotionally, physically. Someone tells you everything that you can do. You can't even think on your own. So it makes it even more prime when these people get out of prison to be even exploited more, because they've already been conditioned behind the bars that I'm not really worth, I'm not worthy and stuff. So, and then within the prison system, you think about it's nothing new, but they're trading you and passing you. And they're doing it, like you were saying, is not just the men who are outside exploiting them, but people within the prison system that are selling these people while they're in there. And it's not just with African Americans. You have every race that is doing this within the prison system that are exploiting people. And they get you, again, with the shame, the guilt, and nobody wants you. Your family didn't even visit you. And think about, you know, us as human beings who are not incarcerated, just how we struggle without relationships and fellowship. And think about being locked up feeling that way.
Right. Right. So we're going to try to bring on the other guest, JB, and get his input. I had another female that was coming on, but apparently she's lost in her work. She said she was going to try to call. But right now we're going to work with JB. So, Pastor E, if you could bring him in.
Amen, amen. JD, you are live with Minister Carolyn on Real Talk.
How you doing? First of all, I'd like to give all praises to God himself.
Amen. He deserves it. He definitely deserves it. Welcome, man. Thank you for stopping by.
You can go in the house.
Yes. Well, when we talk about these kind of subjects, I mean, God is everywhere. He reaches the low and he reaches the high. And as far as man prison, I did 30 years and I watched it all evolve. And the sister had a lot of good points because it all comes from low self-esteem. When you're in prison, you're taught to do as you're told, and you're being exposed by those prisoners and by the guards and all that kind of. I mean, it's self-explanatory. And you take those same concepts when your self-esteem is so low, when you get out, it's the same thing. And if you don't have anything while you're in prison, then you have to get it from someone else. And everyone in there is pretty much predators. You have people in there that's going to spend the rest of their life in prison, so they don't care. They don't care about nobody. They don't have no feelings for you or anything. And they look for those kind of weak people. And when I say weak people, I don't mean they're weak in their all senses, but they're weak because of the situation they're put in. And they're exploited. They exploit them. And you'll be surprised at how much that goes down. And not just on making them prostitutes or selling their bodies. I mean, they exploit them for the money that they have. They exploit them for their family. They're getting after their sisters. And then they pass them on to people on the streets who's waiting on them. So the sister had a lot of good points.
I know. And from us that have been behind, let's keep it real. Even I could attest, phone calls, packages. I exploited women when I was locked up. I mean, I had packages coming in 5 different people's names and things like that. So I've confessed those things a long time ago, but the little things add up and the awareness is not there. Even we thought that was cool. We thought that was the thing to do, to have a visit every other day by somebody else, you know. And I'm so glad we can speak out against these things from experience and say it's not the right thing to do, and to have voices from inside now on the outside to advocate and to show the light. That's what we're here to do today. Let's show the light. Minister Carol, I'm bringing you back in. I see you were having a conversation, but you're welcome back.
Oh no! I was just listening to the things that Joseph was saying that goes on behind the wall, and yes, women are exploited, and even more so, I've seen where some of the guys in there. I've ran across guys that even have had their mothers bring drugs in, and then other inmates have seen that, and one instance. A guy got into a fight with another inmate because the mom fell in love with the inmate. And then the inmate started using the mother, and the mother stopped going to see her son and was going to see the inmate.
Man, I've seen that.
He was exploited. Yes.
Sisters dropped their brothers for a man they met through the brother. It's just a lot of things.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you really, it's funny because when we first started this broadcast, what was the first thing we were talking about? Being married to someone who's behind bars and getting married to somebody who's behind bars. Remember we started that? And now we're coming around full circle and seeing, wow, ooh, I was exploiting and being exploited. I tell you, the truth hurts, but it'll set you free.
Yes. Yes. So you can continue if JB. I have to pause because, you know, we don't do names. So if you could tell us a little bit more about what goes on behind prison board, because this show is also about the violence. So the violence that occurs when these men don't go along with what is told of them. I was wondering just a question. If, like, the inmates had, you know, some of them practice homosexual acts or whatever. Is there a, when they may pass on the man to someone else, or they pass them on for commissary, or again, the packages, you know, could you elaborate a little bit more of that?
Sure. When it comes down to that aspect of prison, the tougher you are, the more scared everybody else is of you. And you get this, you build this reputation up. So when the youngsters come through there, they already know who you are, and they try to avoid you. And once they can't avoid you and he get a hold to them, it's all over with. And they will exploit you all the way to the end. My first 10 years in prison, I was part of that crew. I was part of the wanting to be the toughest guy. When you go to prison, you get a life sentence, you feel like that's the end of the road. That's it. Nowhere else to go but down. And that's why that's the kind of life you live. And you exploit, you do everything possible that you want to do because you can't do the things on the street. And we had prostitutes coming in there bringing in drugs. We had prostitutes coming in there. And like you were saying earlier, some of the homeboys was falling in love with the prostitutes. And then that was creating problems. But, I mean, prison is the end of the earth. And it's like you a dog in a dog kettle. And that's how you treat it. And that's how your mentality becomes that. If you don't have the right mental state and the right mindset, it's over. And it's got to be stopped. It's got to be exposed because the officers get involved in it. They know who's prostitute. When we first went to prison, you couldn't play homosexual acts. You'd get done. You'd be dealt with, stabbed or rolled up the yard and all that. But in today's society, it's open. You can do that. And once it opened up to like that, because now you have to pay for everything you do. If we roll somebody up for being a prostitute or for having homosexual acts, the guards used to look the other way. Now you're getting taxed for that. You're getting extra time for that. So no one has, there's no more backup. There's no more where you can't do something to somebody now. You get extra charges and 10 years and 15 years added to your time. So now you just, whoever does it, they just let them do it. And that's been exploited now.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you.
It goes deeper. It goes deeper, deeper, and deeper.
Yes.
As the young man was saying that now, and I'm going to paraphrase, I know there's a Prison Rape Elimination Act that I think it came in 2003, and then they keep adding on, but it is, they are taking a really serious look. And what inmates, I mean, what people sometimes don't understand, and we kind of tapped on this last week, is that when you're charged for something, you may go in the store and steal a piece of gum. And when they're interviewing you, they'll say, did you intend to steal that gum? Or did you just walk in there and decide to do it? And the person will say, you know what, I had planned on going in there and do it. They don't realize when it's an intent, that adds extra time onto you.
Mm-hmm.
When you plan to go do something versus, no, I went in the store really to buy something and I saw the gum and I stole it. And so, I'm not sharing this to teach people how to get out of doing stuff or being held accountable. So now with the Rape Elimination Act, they're putting, it's like he said, you're getting time. They don't care if you a lifer, if you know, how many, you got 200 years. They're going to make sure whether that's transferring you out or putting you in the hole, they're shutting down and having consequences. And one of the things, as he's saying, the guards are learning these things, but then you got to understand the type of people that they're hiring. And it's no disrespect to the correctional officers because it's a very tough job. You only have to have a high school diploma to be a guard. And it's a sense of false power. So you're going in there where you feel like you have all this control and power, and there's studies have been shown where people have turned on each other. They had a study where they had students be prisoners and their classmates be the correctional officers, and within weeks they begin to turn on each other. And so that power in the humiliation and keeping people down, because that is their way of keeping control over things within that system. And then also, like I said, to really look at the new laws dealing with, you know, rape within a prison, because people are coming out. When they're getting out, they are sharing their stories about being abused by other prisoners, by correctional officers. And I've known two situations where a young lady, she became pregnant. you know, within the juvenile, when youth authority was around, was exploited. She said over and over, passed between the staff, you know, just to get food, just to get food, to get special high, just basic things, food, clothing, shelter, even though they provide clothing for you, but just her basic things. That's how she survived 7 years, stated. And then as she was coming out, you know, they released her early because she was pregnant. And how are you going to become pregnant in a facility where you're not having conjugal visits? And these are things that are swept, you know, people, you know, they think, you know, people go to prison and you just throw away the key, but it's like a world of its own. It's a business. It is a, just like we talk about human trafficking, sometimes the prison system has become a big business with slavery, exploiting people. And so, like I said, please look at the Prison Rape Elimination Act and look at all the different things that involved in that. And even if an inmate just is grooming someone, they can get in there now. If it can be proven, they will get additional time. And when you leave prison, you are you've been charged for sexual acts, you are a registered sex offender. And that's been another thing. Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
No, I was just, I repeat what you were saying. Yeah, I know about that, that they have to register as sex offender. And that alone, that's scary.
And then some of them violate probation because they're like, I'm not going to register because I didn't, you know, they don't see it as a sexual crime. But it's, and so again, that's where the lack of critical thinking, self-worth, all those basic things, because we won't be hurting. It's not just for the victims, but the perpetrators also need to be helped so that they don't prey on people and victimize them. And so it's sad when you see these people come out of prison and they have to register, and then they go back because it's like, I am not going to register. I didn't, they're thinking, I didn't hurt a child, I didn't sexually abuse a child, but you committed a sexual crime while you were behind bars.
Right.
Okay.
Come on now. Pastor, I'm right here. I'm right here listening to you guys communicate.
Well,
you wait for me to take over. I'm not going to take over today. I told you, I'm going to let you do this one. And Inoko is so blessed that she has so much information. I'm blessed. She is a godsend because I'm a baby in this. Okay, I'm writing. I got a whole brand new notebook for sex trafficking and solutions. I started it today. I have a new journal. So I'm a baby in school. I'm taking notes and I'm being very aware because we have to do better in getting this information out clearly. I know. Things have been said in a more classroom setting. People don't get it. I think these type of conversations are going to really touch people to wake up and do something. Now, what are we going to do to go to the next step? Now, we've gotten a lot of awareness. We've been 3 weeks on awareness, and I want to challenge before we get to the end of the broadcast is that, okay, let's take week four. Let's go part four next week. But let's come with some positivity. Let's not look at all the downsides because they're there.
Right.
We talked about them. We've acknowledged them. But where do we go from there? We're growing from this point. We have to not stay in the same place or we'll just be like everybody else talking a good talk but not walking a good walk. So I want to encourage us now to go to the next level. And I know Inoko. Well, look, I'm getting excited. Now I'm going to say another name. But the woman of God has a lot of information here, and we want to channel with you and get it out there. So not enough is too – you can't say too much here because we're all just soaking in the information. At least I know I am. But what are we going to do with the information? Are we going to come back next week and have some positivity for those out there that are living in this thing, even the abusers and even the ones that have gotten caught up in sex trafficking because they were sex trafficked, and now that's all they know? We must break the chains. We must release the yokes and the bondages off of people so we can all grow. So that's my call, is that where do we go from here? I you know, we could keep talking about all of the what's going on, but what are we going to do to change it? And how can we be effective? Real, I mean, a lot of people say, well, you're saying be effective. We have no money. We have no programs. We have this. Well, we have each other. And we could do – it doesn't always start money to start something. It takes an idea and it takes passion and energy that there's more than one person willing to sow into that. So where do we go from here is my question.
Well, you know me, Pastor E, I must say, but I'm normally all of.
I'm learning. I have to say her name. I can't be in the pastor. You know, I talk fast as Pastor E. I cannot say her name in the pastor voice. I have to slow down. Being silly. Trying to be silly a little bit. But go ahead. Where do we go from here?
Okay. Is that for Carolyn? Okay.
That's from all of us. Where do we go from here? What's our launching point for next week?
Is developing. Okay, one of the things is, like you said, yes, it takes money, but sometimes I think about trainings that I have done. It takes paper. It starts with educating and developing programs. And that people want and need, because you can have the best program, like I said before, on paper, but if you don't have the bodies to get them, you know, people to come to your program. So one of the things is that we need to do is find out the highest need, the area that needs this program and this awareness. We can start, first of all, in the churches, in the schools, just within our, and I don't want to tell, you know, just within our community centers, just putting together a class. From there, God will open up doors. Yes, it does take money to do extensive treatment, but it doesn't take a lot of money to educate someone, to give someone referrals that work. And one of the things when I'm doing programs, I go to these programs that I'm referring people. I'm just not going to give you a referral and I haven't set in that program, or that I don't know something about that program, because a lot of times we give people resources and tools that are not even effective for them. And so we have to develop programs that cover, that meet people where they are. And begin out there and not just wait till we have a lot of money, but start at ground zero, at grassroots, running some, you know, just like the radio show that we're having to, you know, that we've been having over the weeks, developing a course and a curriculum with that information.
I like that. So, number one, we start at ground zero. So that kind of puts us all on level ground. Nobody's greater or lesser, but we can all work together. I think that really helps when we all can begin at the same starting point. And yes, you may have experience in this and you in this and you in that, but we can all still work at ground zero. So starting point, ground zero. What would be – okay, so now we're saying let's educate. Next week is going to be the week of education of this first phone call to make, the right person to go. And then I like what you mostly said, a woman of God, when you said proven. You have to go and sit in these places and know they can be trustworthy, because we can go on the hotline number. I even searched this morning. There's about 8 numbers that I can refer people to, and when it comes to abuse, sexual abuse, trafficking, prostitution, all those things. But I can't prove them. That's just numbers, 1-800 numbers. So that would be really strong that we have some proven areas, and that's why I'm glad you're here with so much information and with some great ideas that people out there wondering what to do, you can pick up, find your passion right here at ground zero. Oh, I would like to do that. I'd like to be a part of that. Oh, I like to be the part of education. Oh, I like to be a part of the growing in the transformation. Let's find at ground zero where we're going. Minister Carolyn, what would you like to see?
First of all, I wanted to talk about what you just said about we have to show them proven, because I've seen a lot of numbers when I was Googling and searching, and then I started dialing some of the numbers, and it was always a recording on. And they was like, if this is an extreme emergency, dial 911. Well, okay, that's true, but I want to see more people picking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning like we do when our phones ring. I mean, you know, to me, to show yourself proven, you have to always be readily available. And so that's what I noticed, that I didn't too much care for it. So in the process of doing this, when we give out our numbers, I want to make sure that we show ourselves proven that, well, we already are. We answer our phones. We give out our numbers. On the end of my recording, it doesn't say dial 911. When you're on the radio, you don't say dial 911. You say call P2P Ministries. And somebody's going to answer. We're going to call you right back. I left my number with 6 different people yesterday when I was studying, and nobody answered. And then I thought it was funny this morning. I called back, still no answer. So it's like, that's a problem. And how many people have went back and got hurt or maybe even gotten killed because they tried to call a number and nobody reached them back? But anyway, that was just a side note
for
me.
No, that's a side note. That's bigger than a side note. That's really major.
Okay. Okay.
And so one of the things we also, in developing a program that is effective, is teaching people, because a lot of people don't want to make that first call. And so I found you have to sometimes help. You have to sit with that person, be willing to dial that call for them. And even though dealing with confidentiality, that person's going to have to speak for themselves. But working over the years in programs where I had to refer people, and I used to think about people who have lost their children, or all they have to do is take this course, and I kept saying, why? And it was the fear of making that call to say, I need a class dealing with human trafficking. I was a victim of human trafficking. So, again, talking to the people who have been impacted by this and have been victimized, and the perpetrators, that's how you begin to develop resources and develop programs, because we want to make sure that we're giving people what we need. If you don't need clothing, why am I going to give you a referral for clothing? If you're hungry,
right,
I need to make sure and assess exactly what do you need to begin your journey, living your purpose for God. And there are so many things in the church that we could be doing to help people build. You're supposed to, if you're sitting amongst a good teacher, you should know your self-worth. You should know your value. In the Bible, the most complex.
You try to start something this morning.
It's
okay.
The critical thinking.
It is. Instead of filling pews, we need to fill people. Somebody ought to preach on that tomorrow. Am I preaching on that tomorrow?
Yes.
God? Instead of filling pews, we need to fill people. I'm being honest. This is throughout the whole city, not just one church. I'm not pointing fingers at any one ministry. Mm-hmm. But do you know every church in this city of Los Angeles, 40% of the people in there are hungry or homeless?
Yeah.
They got a smile on their face for an hour to worship God, but then there's no resources at the end. I'm not talking about free food on Wednesday that the community gets. I'm talking about your members, the people that you're sowing into, oh, my God, that need to be filled and not the seats. So I'm more about where do we meet the people where they are. That's a step that I think this can help in us having this broadcast and the platform to go anytime, anywhere on this network at any time to reach people is a big step. But we can go even deeper when we look at our own areas. And you've seen that lady, you've seen the look on her face at the grocery store every day, and you knew as a lady or as a man, another brother going through something, that something wasn't right, something wasn't wrong. And one word could have changed to say, did you ever have anybody to listen to? For instance, yesterday, lady came in to do some shirts for her daughter. And then in finding out, is just doing a birthday shirt that the husband, who is the father of 6 children, was going down the street and a construction some construction work was going on. They had the cones that would force you a certain way. Well, he's driving. He follows the cones, and at the end of the cones is a solid concrete wall. Killed him on the impact. They had no idea this lady was going through that, but she came here and then said, "Well, could you put this picture of my husband on there?" So I didn't know the story, but as the Lord started to work through me and start to use me and His anointing, there was somebody in need, and all they needed was a one word of encouragement, and I was able to do that because I listened and I paid attention. I said, "It's just something. Is he not here?" No, he's gone. Then she told me the story. She didn't tell me in the beginning about putting a picture on there. That's just a for instance of being available and not thinking about money, because I could have said, "Oh, I got another customer coming in. Let me get you out of here right quick. Oh, what, how you like it? Bye." Well, boom. But to take time and just pay attention and say, "You need to pray. You need." And she broke down and shared and left here so encouraged to say, "Wow, I could do this now." We need more of that in our communities. Now, I'm nobody perfect. I've come a long way to become attentive to other people's needs. Didn't happen overnight. I had to get myself out the way and not worry about me right in that moment, every moment, to look at other people's needs in the moment. That's going to catch up in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. See, when you're always looking at you can't see somebody else's needs. What'd you say? You got it in 3? Amen. But that we're a good start. We got about 8 minutes left. We want anybody on the line that has a comment, has an idea. We got 2 steps, ground zero, and now teaching people to trust through you. That's what I got out of what you said, Inoko, is that, you know, you could get somebody and tell them, "Here's the number," but sometimes you got to dial a number and say, "Oh, I'm not leaving here until you get on this phone. You need this, and I'm gonna stand by you. You need a ride? I'll take you. Oh, yeah, I'll wait to get you in safe. I'll make sure they got my number as backup. I won't leave you." That's number 2. So anybody else that may have a suggestion or a comment, or it may be you out there that's going through something and you didn't think you were being abused. You didn't think you were in a trafficking situation, even in a marriage or even in living in the same household with somebody right now. You could break those chains today. Dial 1. Let us pray with you. Let's make solutions together. Let's support one another. Let's work through this thing. We've all been hurt some kind of way. Hurt is hurt. But when we look at it on the same plane, understand that even though my hurt may be here and your hurt we're still hurting, but we don't have to be that way because of God and His Son and His Holy Ghost that has been left to comfort us. Do you need to be comforted today? Dial 1. We want to talk to you right now, or anybody else that would just like to ask the question of Inoko or Minister Carolyn or JB or myself. Dial 1 right now. Minister Carolyn.
Okay, so I guess if no one is dialing in, we can see if we have any closing remarks. Mine is just always the same. I'm loving what the Lord is doing and always working through you and I, and now Inoko and everyone else that have been our guests on the show, how He's using us to make a difference. And you know me, I'm always ready to go. Like, let's hit the street and go grab some of these groups. But I know that it's easier said than done, and that we have to make sure we can get them to safety get them to transition onto a better way of living. So that's where we need the dry land, the dead land. Isn't that what you call it, Pastor E?
No, we didn't call it out dry land. It's live land now. We're looking for phone calls with live land. We don't know where the money's going to come from to secure these properties, but when they come, they're going to be live. God will provide. We ain't trying to build a house for us. We trying to remodel, fix up, do anything we can, buy a trailer, put something on that land that can be a safe haven for people who need help and need security. And the biggest word I keep ringing in the Holy Spirit is not housing, is not programs, is not counseling, is trust. Trust must be established.
Amen.
Trust must be established. We must be an agent of trust, that we're not here for grant monies and 501(c)s and 3s and 5s and 9s, but we are here to really be support systems of trust.
And powers and praying too.
That was not me.
Yeah, JB here, and the power is in praying, too. We have to pray on this, and God's going to give us a way. We have to pray on it. Prayer is so powerful.
That's right. Oh, my God. You're talking about something that's greater than anything. The most the most important thing Jesus did on this earth, if you did not know it, was pray. I know he healed the sick. He prayed before he healed the sick. Oh, he walked on water. He prayed before he prayed to the Father before he made any little or major decision, and he never went wrong.
Yeah.
He was sinless because he talked to the Father first. That's a lesson in there all together. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I got
you,
it.
JB, man, thank you. I want to pray with you before we leave for your courage and for your willingness to grow and to acknowledge God is the source of your everything. Enoko, any closing remarks from you, woman of God? And we definitely want you back next week. Let's see. We're talking solutions next week. We know Ground Zero is going to be our first objective, but how do we build trust that people will not just be left alone and we stick in? I'm talking about us trusting ourselves to do what God has called us to do.
And one of the things is just being consistent and keeping our word. When we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it with excellence, because God's people deserve excellence and in order. And so one of the things I would like to do is to challenge us. Because one of the things, the highest human trafficking time is the summer. And giving ourselves a 90-day challenge, that even if we got to put together something at a local library and educate people on and providing resources and providing a class with all of these things that we've discussed, so that when these parents are having these kids home in the summer, that's the highest rate of crime is believe it or not, the end of June, August, and I mean June, July, and August. Those are really things where parents really don't know what to do with kids from 12 to 13, because you can't go to child care, you can't go to camp, and things take money. So I mean, money. So I challenge us to get together and begin to put the pen to the paper and come up with something in the next 90 days that could provide resources and tools for people to have a safe summer with their children, and they don't have to deal with all this trauma when the school year comes back.
That's right.
And not just our children, but even the parents and whoever wants to come together. So I challenge us to put something to the things that we've done to paper and have some kind of workshop or seminar or conference or whatever, and God will open the doors if we take some steps to get this done. Also,
that's
anything
right.
that I've said that may have hindered someone, I take responsibility, but at the end of the day, we have to give God all the glory, honor, and praise for anything that good that comes out of it, and I know good is going to come out of this.
Amen. And yes, it is. I'm excited you said that, because we are reaching out and connecting with all the resources that we were connected with here in the Los Angeles area, Compton area, especially. There is a human trafficking center on Long Beach Boulevard, right off of Compton Boulevard, well known, next door to Sylvia Nunn's Angels. We'll be talking with them this week. We want to do something on Long Beach Boulevard, and then take it to Figueroa, then take it to Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset, take it wherever that we can be effective with some information and building trust with people. So I'll take my charge in that area. Everybody out there know, you already know, it's from Memorial to Labor. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, it's the hot season. From holiday to holiday, that first May 31st holiday of Memorial Day, and kicks all the way to Labor Day, which is on September 4th, 5th, or whichever it lands on, is a hot season. Let's do some things and be proactive every month. June, July, August. Let's do something in all of those months. I challenge you guys that. So we want to hear your ideas next week when we start at Ground Zero here on Real Talk with Pastor E, Minister Carolyn, now Minister Enoko, and all the rest of our covenant partners. Family, we love you. We thank God for you. And I tell you, if there's anything I could encourage anybody with here, If anybody can do it, God can. I can do all the best and try to be as the best person I can, but it's only through God. So with him, we can do all things, but without him, we can do nothing. Won't he do it?
Try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Well, only do it, he said he would. Fight your battles for the win. Right. So ain't no-